Welcome to the great conversation where ideas matter. Ideas can not only shape markets, they can change the world. We have been talking a lot about digital transformation on this podcast. The digital transformation, the ideas that are shaping the market influenced by technology, technology that will be redefining what it means to be human, will be redefining what it means to be an employee, and redefining and shaping the business processes that we currently believe have always been there and always will, but will be disrupted in the future, much like Uber disrupted the taxi market. I've been really following a gentleman for a long time, since he was the president and chief executive officer of a very innovative integrator, probably about 10 years ago, and then was later acquired by Convergent Technologies, which is, of course, one of the leaders, if not the leader, in the physical system security integration space. And the reason I've been following with him is because of his focus on technology and innovation. And I was listening to him the other day on a webinar around AI, which he will say is really about the digital transformation of his industry. And I said, let's get on the phone and have a great conversation. And we both, I think, are going to have a dram of virtual scotch while we're at it. Is that correct, Eric Unek?
That is absolutely correct. I will let you and all the listeners assume that it's virtual.
So Eric and I are going to be talking about that, but let's put it in context. First of all, what does it mean, Eric, to be a executive in charge of innovation and technology at Convergent?
Well, it's something that we've had to define and that I've had to define. And, you know, the benefit of being part of an organization like Convergent is that we have, you know, I'll say the obligation to, you know, invest in ideas like innovation, both for ourselves and behalf of our customers. And we have the scale that, you know, we can dedicate resources and time in this context, my time to, you know, studying those ideas. And over the last year, I've had almost a pilgrimage in a foreign land experience, really in the form of spending a lot of time outside of my entire context of the security industry, just really, you know, listening to thought leadership and forming relationships with kind of the world's thought leading tech companies and some other, you know, just different opinions, viewpoints, business models, and thinking that are not in the framework of our security integration industry. And it's been a lot like, you know, going to the same school for, you know, your entire life, and then your senior year transferring to a completely different place and not knowing anybody, not being able to trade on your reputation or your friend group or anything else. And really just, you know, hearing a very different story and a different viewpoint of what matters in the world from a technology perspective, where new ideas come from, how they're being accelerated in organizations, and importantly, how really the world's leading companies are thinking about, you know, engaging the innovation functions and how themes like digital transformation are impacting them in so many different ways. So yeah. it's been a fascinating year, put it that way.
For those of you who want to do further research, please go to convergent.com under artificial intelligence. And you're going to see a paragraph there. And the reason I'm asking you to go there is I'm going to refer to it with Eric. In the top paragraph, he is talking about how AI solutions actually are incorporated into the most critical and important business processes, thereby empowering your employees to become more efficient. So it's all about workflows. It's all about people performing roles in a process, using technology and optimizing those over time, and in some cases, disrupting them. Tell me why this is real now. This is no longer a concept. A few years ago, it was pie in the sky. People going, yeah, when it's ready. But it's no longer pie in the sky, is it, Eric?
No, it's definitely very real. And I think, you know, pandemic has done nothing but turn that reality into an inevitability and shorten the timeline. If we back up a little bit, in my view, to just sort of the impact of digital transformation as a whole, the my mental framework on that was very much challenged talking to people that are out of our industry, where we, you know, our sort of traditional partners, you know, vendors, manufacturers, software companies, hardware companies, you know, have a very, by definition, risk averse approach to technology changes, and rightly so. And so in conversations that I've had over the last, you know, year and 18 months around, you know, digital transformation, I've had a few very insightful conversations with people that challenged me to think about, you know, the term digital transformation, and I'm using air quotes, really in the context of, you know, the fourth industrial revolution, which, you know, if you think about the prior industrial revolutions, the mechanization of manufacturing and electricity, the first couple, the impact on humanity was enormous, a sustained, you know, 100-year periods of change where everything about how humans interacted, did work, fundamentally changed really everything we knew about sort of business and process and those kind of things, but they took 100 years to unfold. Digital transformation and really this fourth industrial revolution, if you really start to think about it in that same context that we are going to live through, you know, in the next probably 5 to 10 years, a change that's on the same order of magnitude as the mechanization of manufacturing and, you know, electricity in terms of how we interact, how work is done, how business is conducted, all of those things. And that, you know, we have a really a front row seat to that in terms of things like computer vision and AI and IoT and really the building blocks of digital transformation. It really challenged me to think differently about what are those conversations that we're having with our customers that really rise to that level of impact, because that's how every industry in the world right now is processing the concept of digital transformation. Is how do we fundamentally alter the customer and employee experience, you know, using all of these technologies. So really rooting the thinking in a lot of that true transformation, and that's not just a buzzword. It really is the idea that the technologies that are maturing and the confluence of that maturity is creating that potential to live up to that fourth industrial revolution kind of a transformation.
How do you take the people who aren't living every day in evolving that transformation, that fourth industrial revolution, your customers, your CSOs and the teams, as well as your partners, how do you help them make that transition in a way they feel comfortable with?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's a question that I ponder almost every day now. And it's not one that I would say that we have a phenomenal answer for yet. I would say if I've learned anything in the last year about all of this as it relates to our industry and our customers is that there's more changing now and changing at a pace that none of us are used to. And, you know, answers that we thought were great 6 months ago are okay today. But I think there's a couple fundamental things in your question I think that we can say are true at this point. And one of them is the presence of digital transformation as a theme inside of all of our customers, regardless of industry, regardless of geography, regardless of, you know, how they serve their customers, is that digital transformation is a present theme. It is recognized by, you know, boards, the CXO levels across all functions, and likely it is a, you know, funded, talked about, and focused on series of initiatives that there is an enormous amount of existing institutional momentum and thinking around the ideas of digital transformation and how they apply in their business directly. And what I would recognize over conversations I've had with some of our largest clients, which are some of the largest companies in the world, is that if we're able to make a connection to those themes, to those imperatives that they have that are, you know, around customer experience and employee experience and really changing the way that work is done, you know, with all the technologies as enablers, that is a way for us to remove friction in that conversation and for us to begin to tap into that thinking that already exists. There likely is already, as a very practical example, you know, if you talk about something like AI or facial recognition or something like that, you know, for the largest companies in the world, they've largely have some strategies built around customer experience. There's probably some thinking that's been allocated towards, you know, employee or customer experience and, you know, things like facial recognition technology. So they've probably already crossed hurdles around things like, you know, the legality of that, the you know, PII implications of that. There's no reason for us to go reinvent the wheel in some of these areas when, you know, in large companies, mid-market companies, they've already put a lot of effort into a lot of that, the enablement of some of those technologies. And we don't need to re-educate the entire organization on the thought process to get there. So I think that was probably my number one takeaway in some of these early conversations, where our ability to influence is dramatically accelerated by recognizing what's there and beginning to align the security digital transformation strategies with the broader organizational digital transformation strategies that are in place.
So you are finding yourself, I'm reading into this now, and it may be I'm a little too aggressive in the read-in, but are you finding yourself beginning to have conversations alongside your traditional executive audience, but alongside in talking to their peers in the business world? Are you starting to find yourself talking to HR and the operations teams on the intersection of security solutions and theirs?
No question. And that's been, I think that statement represents the single probably fundamental challenge for our industry, is to navigate that, to capture opportunity. That there's a little bit of, I think, a parallel to the analog to IP for everybody that has lived through that camera transition, you know, 20 years ago, that suddenly having to speak to the IT department about security objectives became an imperative, and to understand a different vocabulary became an imperative. And I would make the case that digital transformation has a similar but dramatically larger impact and series of audiences around that in order to sort of tap into this, the potential that exists for, you know, all of the different applications and use cases across an organization, that audience has to broaden significantly. You know, our vocabulary has to broaden significantly, and we have to begin to, you know, navigate in ways that we weren't used to in prior contexts. And it's definitely, you know, for an organization like ours, it has, you know, 500 customer facing colleagues and who are very good at creating collaborative relationships built on trust with our, you know, security, fire, life safety, decision makers and buyers up and down that reporting structure in our organization. Leverage it. How do we leverage that? It's a question that we're pondering right now on how to do that well, and how to, you know, continue to both, you know, serve our core customer well, but then also to find ways to bring value with what we're doing in place to different areas of the business.
It's so funny, as you know, Eric, I've been doing the Great Conversation in a physical form for about 18 years now. And about 18 years ago, I was kind of laughed at and mocked as an outsider to the industry as a business guy, because I suggested physical security actually had a value proposition to the business. And you know what it was like, because you were in the business 20 years ago. That wasn't necessarily commonly accepted. But one of the things I recognized early on with the CSOs I met is they were beginning to realize they had to go back to school. They had to learn the language of the business if they are going to be successful. Not all of them did that, but many of the more successful ones did. So I'm thinking about you right now and your 500 customer-facing peers. And I'm thinking of them thinking, oh my gosh, you almost have to send them back to some form of school, because they've got to learn the business language of HR, of legal, of operations. You've got to teach them business language. And that's a Berlitz kind of imperative, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. And Convergent's fortunate in the sense that we're very much a learning and development culture. And, you know, we have a value and belief in our culture that is, I'm responsible for my own continuous improvement. And so you're absolutely right. And I have a high degree of confidence in sort of our ability to navigate this based on those cultural underpinnings, but it is a it's a very interesting time, because I've used the analogy here recently in a handful of conversations with, you know, customer executives and in conversations around, you know, video and AI, and I like to frame all that in the computer vision sense, that you know, we really are at a point where anything we can see, we can turn into information. And that's a pretty remarkable thing to say. And I don't say that out of any personal, you know, capability or organizational capability, but just based on what's possible with the technologies that exist now, we really are at a place where we can do that. And we've sort of brought online some capabilities to help make that happen. But what if we're thinking about selling, you know, surveillance and video, if I was a CEO of a company in any vertical market that I can think of, the idea of buying, you know, any type of surveillance video function purely for the idea of sort of limiting risk and liability would be an enormous strategic mistake, in my view, given the implication of what I just stated. If I wasn't looking at any investment in video infrastructure as a visual intelligence platform to gather data about my organization in innumerable unforeseen ways, and I think that's the ticket right now, is that we're just beginning to scratch the surface on use cases and the business value unlocked by the statement that anything we can see, we can turn into data. That is a fundamentally different posture to be talking about, you know, infrastructure and systems and video in the context of visual intelligence and visual data and what that may mean to an organization long-term. But I think we're at a very unique inflection point with those kind of conversations with customers where you could make an enormous investment as a large global organization in a set of traditionally acceptable, and I'm using video as the analogy here, but traditionally acceptable video, you know, VMS platforms and analytics and all those things that, you know, certainly serve a function and deliver value around traditional risk metrics and all those things. But the business value to be unlocked moving forward of really thinking about, you know, that visual intelligence capability going forward is enormous. And it's enormously valuable across the organization, you know, different for every industry, but for all those different constituents you described of, you know, HR process of, you know, customer marketing, all of those different areas that will be asked to leverage the data that they can see visually for, you know, different purposes over the long term.
So those of my audience who are outside the security industry for quite a few years, and feel free to disagree with me on this, Eric, but for quite a few years, this industry has accelerated in value through the leverage of video surveillance. There's no question that most of the integrators who resell security system technology have been focused on that beyond anything else, that and access control. So when Eric, in charge of innovation technology, talks about computer vision and talks about visual intelligence, it's a natural step for this industry. So now I'm going to go to a question, Eric. First of all, do you agree with me on that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, right. I mean, those are the core drivers of our base business.
But if you really listen to Eric, he's talking about presence and awareness. That is, anything I can touch, see, or hear can be turned into data. And then data can be turned into things that drive business outcomes. So really what Convergent will be getting into in the future is cognitive platforms. That's really what AI is. Imagine a person walking into a building, see, hear, or touch. All those things can be optimized through technology and can be incredibly leverage for intelligent buildings, intelligent workplaces, intelligent cities. So that's where you're going, right?
Absolutely. And the way I like to frame that is when people ask me why digital transformation matters is that the underlying technologies give us the ability to transform information into intelligence.
Yes.
And fundamentally, I think that has been the objective of our industry, you know, since inception. But why, you know, when people ask me why cloud hasn't mattered, but it does now, or why, you know, data mattered, but it even matters more now, is it's not that you're moving a workload, you know, from a rack to the cloud and you're saving 10 cents on electricity. Nobody cares. It is the fact that digital transformation happens in the cloud, and that if we're to really unlock the value of turning information, transforming that information into intelligence, that's possible with those underlying technologies of digital transformation. I mean, IoT, cloud, data, and AI really are those fundamental building blocks of digital transformation that makes that happen. And I think, fundamentally, a digitally transformed, security intelligence capability of the future is going to be able to rapidly collect and, augment and corroborate and validate this data from all those sources you talked about, and be able to provide, context and, assess the risks and threats and to take appropriate actions. That is a very different sort of series of touch points and outcomes that happens when you actually deliver intelligence out of the enormous amounts of data that our industry has continued to produce. And so that transformation and that process is really what everybody's trying to wrap their head around right now. But the idea of turning information into intelligence is an objective that we have for our customers, that we're really just beginning to build capabilities around, that both in the security context and in, the business intelligence side of things as well.
You, as an industry, I'm talking industry now, security integration segment of the industry has traditionally made money off product, off deployment of that product, and off maintenance and service of that product. Those are the three main revenue drivers. But we're talking complexity here in this new disruption, this new fourth industrial revolution. Do you see information becoming a utility and transforming Convergent into an as-a-service business in the future?
Well, I think there's an inevitability to the services model, and our industry has definitely been pursuing that, I think largely out of just a simplistic valuation multiple goal versus the thinking about it from a, why is there additional value being delivered to a customer in a, managed services type model. Convergent, I go back to our values and beliefs as being a key enabler here for us, is that one of our, most important values and belief is that we expect to be our customer's best service provider. And Convergent really fundamentally has always viewed itself as a service provider first and foremost, is that, we are going to be our customer's best service provider no matter what business we're in. And so I completely agree with your statement. I think Convergent has built a variety of different mechanisms to kind of evolve the business model around, not evolve the business model from a financial outcome perspective, but to bring different types of capabilities to customers in ways that they can engage, these different catalysts for digital transformation, whether that be cloud software or, different ways to manage, operate, implement, maintain, scale globally, different types of services that begin to, in totality over time, be a completely different way of going to market. I don't think, you've seen companies try to do this over the last, 5 to 10 years, to try to flip a switch on, RMR and, recurring revenue managed services and all this kind of thing. But I don't think our customers are looking at things that way, and that when they're rooted in, value to the business, customer's business, that there is very much a clear path forward for integrators to think about, thoughtful ways to bring new value to customer in what I would say is managed services, being a managed security provider in the physical sense. And that, there's been a lot of road plowed there by the cyber world and the managed security service providers in the cyberspace. And some lessons that we can pretty easily take from that space, in my view.
What I love, what I just heard through this, Eric, even though it wasn't explicit, again, going back to your core values and how you've developed and evolved as a company, It's all about the context of doing what's right. You're not going to get into a business model simply because I can make a few more bucks on a recurring monthly revenue business model. You're going to do it because it's the right time and the right context of your customer needs. And that right there is a great way to end a great conversation with Eric Uneg. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me, Ron. It was it went by too fast. My virtual scotch went down too quick.
Well, same here. I do have two questions now. One is, who would you like to invite to the great conversation, be a fly on the wall and hear a thought leader talk about the next steps?
Oh, that is a, I mean, is this an attainable question, Ron? Is this somebody that you can truly bring into the conversation here? So,
well, and again, it doesn't have to be someone you think I can get to agree to a great conversation, but you can name anyone.
Listen,
as long as they're not dead.
Okay, fair enough. Right now, for what it's worth, I've been listening to a lot of what Andy Jassy's had to say, and this was before the whole CEO transition at Amazon. I happen to have spent a lot of time with AWS in the last year in different capacities, and just a very interesting, you think about the enablement of digital transformation on a global scale and what, you know, AWS has built there to do that and the way that they have transformed business models, services, you know, speed to market, just the value and the innovation created and unleashed by AWS as a platform just fascinates me in every possible way. And you know, he's been the architect of that since the beginning. And for those people that know Amazon's culture, they have the, you know, press release concept where they have to distill any business idea down to a 2-page press release. And AWS started from Andy, from what I understand, off of one of those 2-page press releases that, you know, they had this idea refined and refined and refined down to 2 pages. And to think about, you know, the impact on the world and the enablement that has happened out of that, off that platform, off of that 2-page idea, and to have this sort of the vision and ability to execute on that is a truly fascinating thing. And when people look back, I think on those tipping points of, you know, this fourth industrial revolution, I think there'll be definitely some, you know, footnotes referencing his contribution to that going forward.
Well, it's that's right down my path too. I'd like to see SIA and ASIS and people like yourselves. I'd like to see the day where you actually make inroads into the commercial world like Amazon Alexa made entrance into the home. I think it'll be really interesting when you do that. And any books you're reading, Eric, that you would advise to your peers?
Oh man, I'm reading a couple of good ones right now. One of them is It's a World Without Work by Daniel Susskind. It's an interesting concept. It really drives out of this whole fourth industrial revolution concept, but just, you know, it's just really about technology encroaching on the human space and, you know, what it means for, you know, the humankind in general, to the work that has been done in a certain way for so long to be upended, disrupted, replaced by, you know, technology, and what is, you know, what are some of the social implications of that? And, you know, the challenge to leverage, you know, really good technology in a way that benefits humankind and not, you know, reap the unfortunate consequences of doing it in a poor and unthoughtful way. So really a fascinating look at kind of the implications of everything we've been talking about today about, you know, what does it mean when, you know, we don't need people to drive, you know, 3 million over the road trucks, you know, every single day to deliver goods. And, you know, where do those people go to work, and sort of the parallels in the past that have happened when, you know, machines began to do work that only humans could do before.
Won't that be fun when we won't have to buy a roof over our cars anymore?
Exactly. When it becomes a service, when it's I want to pay for transportation. I don't want to buy insurance, buy a car, buy maintenance, buy gas, I just want to, you know, have X amount of minutes of transportation a month. You know, those are the things that, you know, we sort of say tongue in cheek now, but that clearly, you know, that I would assume that in our collective lifetimes, we'll see very much models like that emerge in places that we never thought possible.
And that was a great conversation with Eric Uneg. We look forward to having in the future. And Eric, blessings to you and good fortune in your roadmap ahead.
Thank you, Ron. Yourself as well.
Yeah.